Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us here at Whiskey Throttle Media for Riders Meeting, our weekly race review show with myself and Bruce Murata, who's on the line with me. Bruce, thanks for joining me.
Yep. Thanks, Ping.
So kind of a weird one down in Alabama. And I want to first start by thanking our sponsors, Rock and Turf, Maxxis Tires, and of course, Speed Strap. If you guys aren't familiar with those brands, check them out. Follow them on Instagram. Great companies. We're stoked to have them involved. And man, well, first of all, I think we should apologize because I said this was a covered stadium. I had heard that from somebody. I didn't verify it. I thought it made sense to have an open air stadium down there in Alabama. I just thought it would be crazy. I mean, it's rainy all winter and then hot and muggy all summer. Just seemed like a dome would sure have been a lot smarter. But anyway,
yeah,
I will say this because they got like over an inch. They got a lot of rain on Friday.
Lots of rain.
And I thought it was going to be a swamp, and I'm going to tip my hat to the track crew guys because they made miracles happen. It was still ruddy and soft in places, but man, you'd have never guessed they got as much rain as they did.
Yeah, and that's the thing that stood out for me, Ping, is like the dirt looks so good. It actually looked really good, you know?
Yeah, and I will say the bigger factor rather than the moisture was that the track layout kind of sucked, like for racing.
Mm-hmm.
Those 180, like the S turn section it spread everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was zero passing right there. Like you just,
right.
It filed everyone out and spread them apart. And then, man, we just didn't see a lot of passing. So let's jump right into our 250 class first. These guys, I feel like we're starting to maybe get a sense of what's going to happen. And we lost our points leader, obviously. So that changes the complexion a bit, but it's been so close. And no one's really taken a hold of this championship yet. And I feel like that finally changed on Saturday mm-hmm. night. And I'll let you talk a little bit about the heats. I'm actually up here in Big Sky, Montana on vacation. So I didn't even pay attention to the heats. I just checked in and watched the mains. I did see the highlight reel and I saw, I don't know what was going on with Star Racing, Yamaha and Pro Circuit Kawasaki, but man, I think it was McAdoo that got in the shot.
Well, no. And what happened was
Romano.
Well, yeah, that was one incident, but the main one was in the first corner with Hamaker and Deegan. Hamaker, he kind of got pushed into the back of Deegan, and then his bike got stuck into Deegan's bike. Mm. And, you know, Deegan definitely, I feel, let his emotions get the best of him because he was definitely frustrated about that situation. You know, and he had some words with Seth after the race. You know, he stomped over to the PC rig. You know, and as far as, you know, I Deegan's got, you know, he's still young. He's going to let these emotions get the best of him. As I said, I don't think Seth, you know, as you know, Ping, Seth's a great kid. He's not going to intentionally just try to take someone out like that. It was just a racing accident. So stuff happens.
Yeah, unfortunately, Seth has found himself kind of involved in a couple of these things, but I wouldn't say they were his fault. I mean, he locked bars with someone going into a first turn.
Right.
That happens all the time. And he just got thrown over high-sided. So,
yeah.
On the Deegan thing, I've already seen an awful lot of hate about that. And I'm trying to give a little bit of grace because I think maybe 10 or 20 years ago, I'd have blasted somebody for that kind of behavior or whatever. And it's like, they're young, man. They're going to just say mm-hmm. things that they're probably going to regret. And I think that it's a little unfair for Hayden because he's growing up and going through all this in the shadow of his dad. So he gets a lot of people that kind of have a preconceived notion about who he is and what he's about. And I think that's going to just evolve over time. Like he's a work in progress and we'll see what kind of person he turns out to be, right?
Yep.
I will say that I really thought this was his championship to lose, and he's so far losing it. He's not out of it by any means, but boy, someone better tell Tom Vielle that Hayden Deegan wants to fight for it, because right now he's on a roll.
Yeah.
And he would go on to win one of the heats, right?
Yep. So, yeah, and I do want to do a shout out though for that first heat. For Cody Shock. So McAdoo and Romano, they got into an incident. Nick had crashed in front of McAdoo. He goes in the back of him. They're both lucky that they walked away from that one. But Cody Shock takes his first heat race win ever.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I'm stoked for the Club MX guys. Those guys work really hard, seem like great people, great program up there. So it's been kind of a career restarter for Cody Shock. Mm-hmm. And I was stoked to see him get a win. Yeah, let's talk about the main event, because it there was a lot of stuff that went on. We kind of had said after last week, hey, this could be a soft, ready track. We thought at the very least, just because it's Alabama, it's going to be sticky and ruddy. And we kind of said, hey, is Tom Vial going to go on a run? And this was good for a couple of reasons, because Tom won Daytona, and that's his first win. Obviously, that's great. It's huge. But he still had to answer that question of, can you win on a real regular Supercross track? And he just got that answer, right? And he didn't just win. Like, he pulled away from Cameron McAdoo and the rest of the crew. So he did it pretty convincingly.
Yes. Yep. And I think, you know, I remember Millsap saying something too. If that kid can get a good start, he's going to be hard to beat. And he hole shot it last night.
Yeah, and so, I think that what these two wins are going to do for his confidence, I think you're going to see who Tom Vial is over the coming weeks, months, and the rest of this season, because he needed to sort of get back to believing in himself again and to win Daytona and then follow it up in Alabama. I think it's going to be huge for him. And he's really taking control of this championship. Unfortunately, our previous points leader, Max Anstey, who, man, that guy needs a start. Just was struggling coming through the back again. Wasn't riding well and looking good, and his bike went tits up. That's pretty much going to take him out of this. I mean, I just don't see there's anyone who would come back from that.
Yeah, especially for how competitive this class is right now, Ping. It's really hard to DNF a race. You just can't afford it, you know, with how this is going. You know, I do want to say one highlight for me, I feel, with the 250 main last night was Swole rode really well.
Yeah.
And he was in
Did you see him blast? Who did he blast out of the way?
Hymus.
Hymus. Holy cow.
Yeah,
now, there was some revenge. They said that was retribution. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't see what happened in the heat, but man, he moved him out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. And I got it. But the thing I wanted to talk about Swole, I mean, it was unfortunate. He did go down while he was in third. But you know, one thing that surprises me, Ping, and is that new Triumph, how competitive that bike already is, you know, to be running up front like that. I mean, with it being their first year, and I don't know, that just, to me, that just surprises me. I mean, how built are those motors, you know, how much testing they really have as far as the race side of things. So for, you know, for Swole to be running in the top three at one point, I mean, and he looks really good on the bike.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we had Ezra Lusk ride it for our intro video, for those of you who didn't see it. And I mean, he was blown away. By the end of the day, he had that thing working. He said, this is like, this chassis is awesome. It corners great. It handles great. His only complaint was that the motor was just a little bit linear, a little soft feeling, which of course is just mapping. And I'm sure that the guy building engines for Triumph's race team is a guy named Dudley, who's been doing them for factory KTM since I rode for him and way before that, actually. This guy's really, really sharp. And so, of course, he's going to have that thing running. I'm sure their race bikes are plenty fast. And it's there. I think they're going to continue to be successful. And their plan is, it's a full commitment to the sport, man. So it's pretty cool.
Well, my hat's off to them. And I feel so far they're doing a really good job.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about second and third. Cameron McAdoo, Seth Amaker. And Seth actually rode really well. I was stoked for him. Not only was the second podium in a row for both of those guys, but Seth actually closed in on Cameron and was, you know, looking to try to make a fight out of it. Both those guys look solid. They look comfortable. They look good on the bike. Just, man, right now, you know, Tom's got their number a little bit.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know what else to say about it. I didn't. And another thing I didn't like about that track last night, let me just say this. How do you not put whoops on a Supercross track? Like,
crazy.
That's like ordering a burger with no patty, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some kind of tofu joke. Some horseshit like that.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, I feel like that track was really hard to pass on.
Well, when something's that rutted through the rhythms and stuff, it's really hard to race, right? You're just trying to survive, and then you get to that other side of the stadium, and it was just like one-lined S-turns. I mean, there's just nothing you could do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Take us through 4 through 10, Bruce.
So we got Brown finished a solid fourth, which, you know, that's still keeping him in some good points. He's going to be third in points now. He's not too far out of the championship. Jeremy Martin with a fifth, Jalik Swole sixth, Bennick seventh, Cody Shock eighth, Deegan ninth, and Chance Hymus 10th. Now, it did change because Deegan did get penalized two positions for cutting that double. In the beginning of the race, when he got pushed off the track there, he cut around that double and then actually gained some positions. So later on, they actually docked him two positions.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. If you watch that, he there was places he could have come back on. And he just like, you know, I don't know. It was pretty obvious advantage. So I can't argue with that ruling.
Yeah. And I mean, he's still a young kid. You know, I don't really consider him really a rookie because of the experience he has and everything so far. But, you know, I just feel like as time goes on, he's going to learn these things more and more and get better at it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And listen, you get on a track like that, right? He had that get together with Hamaker in his heat, not his fault at all, but it sent him to the LCQ. He gets second to Hamaker in the LCQ, puts him on a terrible gate pick. Okay. So you get a crappy start because you have a terrible gate pick on a track that's really tough to pass on.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is what, when you hear these guys, you know, put myself in a good position from the start of the day, that's what they're talking about. It starts in qualifying. You get a good qualifying time that gives you a good pick on your gate for the heat race, which gets you a good start in the heat, which is a good finish, which is a good pick for the main. Like it just snowballs, and it snowballs one direction or the other. And for Hayden, it was snowballing in a bad direction from, at least from the first heat race.
Yep.
Yeah. What about Pierce Brown? You know, just quickly, I don't want to spend too much time here in the 2-minute class, but man, he's had this really quiet run so far where he's been just off the podium, but riding really well. He's got the speed, man. If I was him, I'd be doing starts all week. It would just be starts.
Well, the thing that I'm stoked for Pierce though, he's very consistent right now. And, I feel like what we've seen even in the 450 class, this being consistent like that, you know, this could put him in a really good position. So, he's only like 5 points from the championship, you know, from Tom Vial. So I feel like he's putting himself in pretty good spots as far as being consistent. But like you said, Ping, I think that's great advice for him. Get these starts. He needs to start up front if he wants to win one of these races. He's got to get a whole shot and start up front. He's putting himself in, he's just making it really hard on himself. He is.
Yeah. And it's a lot like what we're seeing in the 450 class is that Tom Vial is on it, and you let him get reel off one more win, and now all of a sudden the championship starts to come out of reach. You know, now you're 15 points out, and it starts to get like, you know, panic mode at this point in the season. And by the time you hit 20 points out, you're done. I mean, you're just done. So it'll be interesting to watch. We did, like I said, we did drop out our red plate holder, Max Stancy. Unfortunate DNF for those guys. And the championship really starts to break down now. If you look at the points, it's Pierce, McAdoo, and Vial, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take us through how those points look.
Yeah, so we got Tom Vial. He's the new points leader. He's 74 points. And then just 1 point down is Cameron McAdoo. And then Pierce Brown, you know, four down from Cameron at 69. So he's still in that championship hunt. Oh, yeah. Deegan 62, tied with Cody Shock, fourth and fifth. Seth Hamaker is six in points. Daxon Bennick seventh. Max Yancey now in eighth, unfortunate for him. You got Henry Miller in ninth. And then Jalik Swole, wrap it up your 10th spot.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Let's go ahead and move on to our 450 classes, our Speedstrap 450 review. And man, again, I'll say this, the championship is starting to take shape. And as much as I wanted Eli Tomac to be a factor in this thing and really get in the mix, it's looking less and less likely as Jet Lawrence continues to reel off wins. And Eli has nights like he did last night where he just can't push through the pack.
Right. I mean, he put himself in a good spot, though, in the heat race starting up front. And that goes back to getting those good starts. I mean, he won the heat race. I know it's a heat race, but I mean, he looked really good in his heat race. You know, same with Sexton. Sexton won his heat race. You know, I understand, though, it comes down to the main event. And this is where, you know, Jet's been putting himself in good spots starting up front.
Yeah, he had this, you know, he's been really solid off the starts all year. And I'll tell you, I was kind of wondering who was going to be the guy to give him chase. Was it going to be Sexton? Was it going to be Cooper Webb? And at the end of the day, I mean, Cooper rode awesome, but I had to wonder, like, how hard was Jet pushing?
Well, that is a big note that I have right there, Ping, because it's like the way it looked is, you know, and I obviously I can't like really speak for Jet, but it looked like he just put himself in a spot where he's just comfortable and he just managed that race very well, you know, and I feel like I there's something that's kind of telling me, like, if he wanted to, he could have kept checking out more and more. But I mean, why when he could just manage it right there? So,
well, I think they've learned a couple of hard lessons with him having these falls in the middle of a race while out front with a gap. And I'm sure that whether it's Johnny O or whether it's his dad or whoever, they're going, listen, dude, just keep your head screwed on. Once you have a little cushion, you know, stay focused on the race. You don't need to win by 15 seconds and just finish the damn job, you know? And so it seems like that's what he's been doing, you know? And I wonder that if Cooper really just turned it on, if Jet had another second or two a lap, he could have dropped. I don't know. You know, he didn't need to show us, but I feel like he's still got more under the hood where all these other guys are at full throttle. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I see that.
Yep. So, take me through, how did you think Cooper, I mean, obviously from Jet, pretty damn close to flawless race. I saw a couple little mistakes they flashed back to on there, but
yeah, like there's that one time where Cooper, you know, they're like, oh, he's actually kind of reeling him in just a little bit, you know, half a second. But then that's where Jet, that's kind of where I saw Jet's just managing this race. He knows he's in a good spot. He didn't allow Cooper to get too close to him. But there were some good battles in the main, like Justin Cooper. I feel like he put on some good battles with like Chase Sexton. They were, you know, Justin looked really good. And another guy too, you know, they kind of showed towards the end of the race, Anderson. He was really working his way through that pack. He was good.
Yeah. I thought the two most impressive rides of the night in terms of just guys that surprised me were Justin Cooper. Mm-hmm. He held off a really hard push from Chase and then held Kenny off for a little while and still, you know, didn't get dropped by him once he passed him. And then also Jason Anderson, who at the end of the race was flying. So,
yeah. But, you know, Ping, the biggest highlight of the whole night, our poor 30-second girl.
Oh, yeah, man. That was something else, huh? What did you think of that?
So, as soon as I saw it happen, like, for me, I thought for sure they would have red flagged that race. Because I mean that definitely kind of, you know, that threw Cooper Webb off. I don't know. Is that, I mean, we've never seen anything like this happen before, you know?
No, I think if it had screwed Cooper up to where he fell or they would have positions. Okay. I mean, I'm sure that there was discussion with Pelletier and everyone else on the AMA, like, hey, what do we do? You know, like, because I've never seen that happen.
Yeah.
And Yeah, that chick got really lucky because she was a couple feet one way or the other.
Yep.
She would have gotten plowed to the mat and just run over. She got pretty lucky.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear.
Somebody posted that the last Monster Energy girl post that went up was about how they have to pay attention to all their surroundings and, you know, stuff. And, anyway,
well,
poetic justice.
And I've talked to some people that she's okay. And she's, you know, she's handling it like a champ. So it's all good.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, insert your joke here. There was a lot of good memes going around.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of which, we were the center square on the Moto Memes bingo card this weekend. So we'll be pulling the best comment from those memes this week and shooting out a gift package to the lucky winner. So we'll be updating you guys on who that is. So let's talk a little bit about Cooper Webb. Where are you seeing him? I feel like he's been the second best guy so far all season.
Yep.
And I don't want to write him. I don't want to count him out. You never can. He's going to push Jet right to the very end. But as I look at the points now, it's like, oh, okay. Eli's probably too far. You know, Eli's too far back. Chase is now on the bubble. It's like every weekend, Jet just keeps pushing another guy out of this title fight.
Yeah. And I think, And I feel like Jet's going to, you know, lose his own races. So the weekends that he doesn't show up, I'm leaning more towards Cooper Webb's going to be the one that capitalizes on that.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. Yeah.
You know, and I've heard some people, you know, they've wrote to me in comments that I'm really typing up Tomac but man, it just would be so cool to see. I mean, it's most likely maybe his last season. So of course I wanted to cheer for him to be on top and win races, but it's these guys are starting to get away, Ping.
So, yeah, I think that 250 class is not quite as clear cut. I think those guys are on notice that they better slow Tom Vial down. The writing has been on the wall in this class, and it's kind of been the rain helped keep it close and, you know, a couple of crashes on Jet's part, but this writing's been on the wall for a while. Jet's just outclassing these guys, and, you know, I don't know, man. I would just say prepare for more of this, more of the same. And, you know, for the people that hate Jet, I get it. Everybody, no one wants to see one guy just win everything.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'll say this, his time will come and go just like everyone else's.
Right.
Just appreciate what you're watching. I'm not like some super fan. I think my daughters are, but, Amber just put her hand up too.
Yeah. I think every girl is, you saw him with his shirt off at Daytona.
but I'll tell you this, dude, like it was like watching McGrath in his prime, watching Carmichael in his prime, watching Bubba when he was on, man, just appreciate what you're watching. Cause we're seeing a guy ride a motorcycle at a level that I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, you never know when the next guy comes along who will raise the bar. And Jet's raising the bar. He's beautiful to watch. Like just
His form, everything he does it's almost near perfect.
Well, it's just makes, so effortless, right? Like he can make a mistake look good. And that's the just enjoy what you're seeing.
Yeah, bike always looks super light everywhere. I mean, it's just, man, it's beautiful to watch. So,
well, let's work our way down here. Kenny Roczen got third. He actually was one of the few guys able to make some moves, make some passes, and push forward. Managed to not thank himself on the podium, which is terrific. He was actually humble and courteous, so that was great. Solid ride for him, and stoked for those guys on that program, the HEP guys, Twisted Development, all those boys. They work really hard, and I like to see that pay off for them. Fourth place. Let's take us through the rest of these results here.
Yeah, so we got fourth with Sexton, Justin Cooper fifth, Jason Anderson sixth, Eli Tomac seventh, Aaron Plessinger eighth, Justin Barsha ninth, and Malcolm Stewart wrapping up your top 10.
That's a solid top 10. Like, if you're fifth through 10th, like, you're probably not happy, but the guys you're racing with are legit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different year. I will say, like we said, really stoked with Justin Cooper and his progression and how he's doing. How do you think Chase Sexton's feeling right now? I watched him almost crash 3 or 4 times, and it was a lot of the same looks of what he had on his Honda. Did you notice that? Like, his front end kept pushing out from under him, and I was like, whoa, that was close.
Yeah.
And I haven't really seen that all year, and now I'm seeing it again, and I'm kind of going, huh, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. I mean, Ping, the guy's an incredible racer and rider. So I just, for me, it actually surprises me that for someone as good as he is and with the people in his corner, that he's still kind of having those kind of issues. So, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to kind of, I don't know if he's kind of still having some issues with his hand. If I were to bet on this in the beginning of the season, I definitely would have thought Chase would be battling some wins with Jet for sure.
Yeah, he seems to be a tick off, and whether that's bike or, I'm curious how much his hand is bugging him.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing that really close to his chest, and which is understandable, yep. Is he uncomfortable on the bike, or is that hand an issue, or is it a little of both? Was it just getting slick, or is he setting his bikes up in a way that isn't good? Right. Like, I know he really leans forward. He leads the bike a lot with his head and really relies on that front end to be planted, but you can only ask so much out of it. Right. And I don't care what color your front fender is, at a point that front end's going to give out. So it'll be something interesting to watch here as we keep moving along. Like we said, great ride from Jason Anderson. It was good to see him up there. I think everybody was bummed with Eli Tomac's finish. Not that he rode poorly, but you just can't start back there like he did and try to come through this field. It's just too hard.
Yep. Absolutely.
And again, top 10 for Malcolm. I keep hoping he's going to get on a roll and get something going, but at least a solid finish for him anyway.
Yep. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, take us through where the points are at now.
Okay, so we got Jet Lawrence is leading. He's got 185 with Cooper Webb in second at 172 points. So, man, these points are getting – I mean, he's starting to really walk away from these guys, Pink. Chase Sexton in third, Eli Tomac fourth, Ken Roczen fifth, Jason Anderson sixth, Aaron Plessinger seven. And I know Aaron Plessinger – however you want to say it. I've known him for a while. I always just say Plessinger. Eighth is Justin Cooper. Dylan Ferrandez. Eighth. Ninth. And then 10th will be Justin Barcia.
Okay. And what are our points? So we're 13 behind with Cooper. Where are Sexton and Tomac sitting on points?
Okay, so
Tomac was 20.
Tomac is... Let's see here. So we got, I want to say he's 26 points behind Ping. He's 26 points behind.
That's too much.
Yeah. And then let's see here for Sexton. Let's see here. Sexton's going to be, let's see here. He's going to be at the 165. So he's going to be
inside of 20.
He's around 20 points. Yeah, man, that's just going to – It's going to be hard.
Yeah, it's getting far. Hey, we're going to keep an eye on this. I appreciate all our sponsors, Rock and Turf, Max's Tires, and Speed Strap. Check those guys out. Bruce, thanks. Yep. We're going to be back with Sight Lap having a look at next weekend. Join us there. We'll see you guys.